Welcome to the Young Talent Radio, an audio experience brought to you by Carrie Ferry.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the last episode where we discussed the different entrepreneurial career paths that students can pursue after university. In today's episode, we have a very special guest. Gonzalo Hall is one of the pioneers in the remote work culture. He's been traveling and working from different countries of the world for more than 6 years. He's doing a lot of things, including helping others to understand how they can embrace this remote lifestyle. He's also working with governments across the globe to create digital nomads villages, and he's advising companies on how to make remote work work. So in today's episode, we're going to discuss whether it makes sense at all to work remotely when you're starting your professional life. We're also going to look at what are the most sensible ways for students to land a remote job and what negotiation power they have to negotiate those remote working conditions with their employer. So sit back, relax, and get ready to learn from a very committed leader in the remote work culture. Thank you, Gonzalo, for being on the show today. There's a couple of things I'd like to explore with you. And one of them is to see what the future of work will look like and what does it mean for people who are just getting started in their professional life. Before we dive into it, tell us perhaps a bit more about yourself and what led you to become so passionate about the remote work culture.
First of all, thank you so much for the invitation. It's really cool that you are doing this and it's very inspiring for a lot of people, I'm sure. About me, 10 years ago, I was working inside the office. I was still studying at university. I was studying marketing. It was my last half degree. I never finished any of the three half degrees. So I'm a three-time dropout. But I was working in the office and I saw this article about people working in Bali. And I was like, what? Have a remote job and go to Bali and work from there? That sounds interesting. And during all my life, I was always very curious of how is life on the other side. So imagine if I was traveling to Switzerland, I wanted to know how is life in Switzerland. I have no interest in visiting and taking pictures. I want to understand how you live, where you go to eat, what is your day-to-day life. I never had interest in just taking pictures and living. So for me, this was an opportunity to actually spend more time in places to get to know and understand the culture. So it took me 5 years, but I understood that with this whole journey, actually, I could do much better. I could work from anywhere. So I went to Germany first, then I went to Poland, then I went to Bali, and then to the whole world. And it was basically learning how to work remotely, how can I make money, and above all, how can I connect with the different communities. But it took me 5 years actually to get in, to reskill myself and actually be able to jump in this world. And now I divide myself into basically half remote work, half digital nomadism. And I have companies on both sides of the fence. I work with companies, I work with governments, and I work with people. So I'm having fun basically.
There's a lot of topics that you mentioned. On the one side, understand how it works, also developing this ability to immerse yourself deeply into culture that is not going to a country just to take pictures and check destinations in your bucket list, but rather have deeper emotional connections with the places that you visit and the people that you meet. I think that's amazing. Probably there's a lot of students and young graduates who want to do the same. And maybe to give a little bit of context, in 2023, we have, on the one hand, companies creating systems that either fully allow, partially allow, or completely prohibit remote work. And on the other hand, we have thousands and hundreds of thousands of young graduates that join the workforce and accept the work conditions that are set by their employers. So it will be great to understand how students and graduates can position themselves while looking for their first remote job, what negotiation power they have, and what say they have in setting up these conditions.
One key thing for me was actually to work as a freelancer before I embraced a full-time job. If you are at university or even if you're at school and if you learn a skill, you don't actually know how to do it. So if you learn marketing at university, you don't actually know how to do marketing. You need to go to a company, you need to test it out. And the best way to do it is one, volunteering, or two, work as a freelancer, or both, actually. So that would be my first step nowadays. I would always start as a freelancer. I'll always start volunteering. Like, there is Erasmus+. There is so many things that you can use to do this. I would definitely try one of these two ways to start entering the job market instead of going straight to a full-time job. As a freelancer, you will learn so many more skills than as a full-time worker. You will learn how to manage your time, how to work remotely, how to manage different clients, sales, marketing. There is like a whole set of skills that you'll never learn as a remote employee. But then when you want to get the job, that will be a very strong green flag. So imagine after 1 year freelancing, you have 10 clients, you have work to show your future companies, any company in the world to say, Gonzalo is working for 1 year. He has 10 clients. He did this, this, and this. And he did all this while working remotely from whatever. It gets so much easier to hire someone like this compared with someone who is leaving university, going straight to the job market and has nothing to show except a degree, which nowadays everybody has. So I would start with build your work and show your work.
Gonzalo, you're telling us that actually it's not a bad idea to start freelancing straight after your studies and go to another country, your dream destination, Bali, South America, Portugal, whatever country, start freelancing, and then you're more attractive as an individual for a remote work position.
Yes, exactly. And I'll do more. You can volunteer while you do this. Imagine you don't have much money and you want to start and you want to travel. There are so many people looking for volunteers to work at co-living spaces, community managers. We host volunteers as community managers in Madeira. So many opportunities that you can work like 4 or 5 hours a day and have the rest of the day free to actually do your work and build your portfolio and work for clients. So money is not even an excuse because you can do this volunteering and spending like 200, 300 euros per month. So lots of money, no money, you can actually do this. And I'll always start with volunteering and freelancing. It gives you so many skills that you'll never get as a full-time job.
You're a big believer in remote work. How, in your opinion, is it different in different stages of someone's professional life?
I believe remote work can change the whole world. It's much more than just where do you work or where do I work from. It's about a new capability of anyone, anywhere, have access to any job in the world. And this is what excites me about remote work. I do believe that younger people need to get more experience. And that's why I believe like people should work in projects first so they can have different experiences, work with different managers, etc. The biggest early adopters of remote work is the young people and the older people. And there's some gap in between, which we believe are the middle managers that are afraid of losing the power inside the company. So I think as a young man, it's much more interesting to work remotely, but you do need to leave your house and go to different places, go to co-working spaces, because you still need the people. Remote work is not the same as working from home. I hate to work from home. I love to work from co-working spaces, from different places around the world where I can connect with my people, with my community. This is very important. And then once you get experience, you will want to work remotely because you understand that in 4 hours of deep work, you can do more than all the people in the office in 9-10 hours. Easy. So with 4 hours of deep work, whatever it is, whatever you do, you can literally do more and enjoy more life. So I'm doing this podcast in Porto Santo, a beautiful island next to Madeira Islands, and I can be here talking with you, working in the morning, and the afternoon I'm going to the beach because I can. And this is the difference. Like the people I'm meeting here, my lifestyle, it's the lifestyle I want as now 35 years old, getting a baby in 1 month. This is what I'm looking for. The flexibility, the freedom to connect with the people I love. At the later stage, it's all about enjoying your life. Imagine if you are 15 years into your career, you can choose, I want to work for one of the best tech startups, but I really don't want to go to Silicon Valley and pay Silicon Valley rent prices. And now you can do this. So this ability to grow your career without being attached to a location, it's key because you don't have to grow in Lisbon. You don't have to move to a different place. You can be whatever you want, whatever you feel good. If you're a surfer, go to the beach. If you're a hiker, go to the mountains, whatever. But you can grow your career and be the best in the world, independent of where you are. And this is the biggest game changer in the workforce for the last 100 years, easy.
That's very interesting what you say.
We're doing a small break here to tell you what we do at Career Fairy. Career Fairy is a live streaming platform to help students and graduates find their dream job. We host live stream events with hundreds of companies across Europe. So if you're really interested in landing your dream job, I highly suggest you to visit careerfairy.io. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
So you don't see a difference, or maybe you see one, in terms of professional development. You think it still makes sense for a student to get started straight with a remote job? You will learn more if you're in an office than if you're not in an office, or does it make any difference?
I don't think it makes any difference if you move to communities. So imagine if you go to an office, you are surrounded by a community with whom you will learn. if you are staying at home or if you have a small office and you are just staying inside, you will not learn anything. So it's all about the people you surround yourself with. The smarter people, and I say you are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. So the thing for me, the key part as a young person, it would be to go to a strong community manager with a strong community and learn from everybody there. And instead of learning just from the people from your company, you will actually learn from people from different companies with different experiences around the world. And that is much more fun than just learn with one person or just with the people that are formatted to think inside one company.
Okay, very interesting, very interesting. So go for the communities.
100%. And travel between communities. Never travel between places. Travel between communities. Don't go to South America because South America is beautiful, especially as a young age. Go to Florianopolis because it's the best tech community in South America. So it's very different how you travel.
Very amazing. Have you been to Florianopolis?
No, but I have a project in Brazil, in Pipa. So I just opened this one up in Brazil a couple of months ago. I'll go to Florianopolis, but I'm basically starting to manage the whole country of Brazil and their strategy for digital nomadism. So I know very well Florianopolis, Rio, and the Northeast, which for me is the most interesting part.
You do work with the Brazilian government, right?
Yes, I work with Madeira government here in Portugal, and I work with different governments now, Portugal and Cabo Verde and Brazil. Basically, I help them to build a strategy to improve their conditions for remote workers and digital nomads and to attract more digital nomads to their country. So I just started this project in Madeira, then Portugal, then Cabo Verde, and now I just started in Brazil. I started in the Northeast in a small village called Pipa. So I think we will live in smaller villages than big cities. And Pipa is like this small surf town, beautiful, fast internet. It's just perfect. And it's our first project in Brazil, but now I have several meetings to expand the project for the whole country, basically creating digital nomad communities around Brazil.
Gonzalo, it's obviously more rewarding to work remotely in terms of the freedom that you get. But what are the advantages beyond the obvious possibility to travel and all the freedom that you get when you work remotely? What are some advantages that are perhaps not that known and also some disadvantages of remote work when you are just starting your professional life?
I think the biggest advantage, the people with whom you can connect. So yes, you can travel. Yes, you are free. Yes, more and more you can set up your own diet. But the people you meet while going to the right places, it's for me the biggest advantage. I grew more in my first year as a digital nomad than in the previous 10 years, which includes three universities. I learned about global taxes. I learned about marketing strategies. I learned about how to grow a YouTube channel to 1 million. I learned about different things because I connected with the right people. And this is something it's very hard to get if you stay just in one place. These advantages, I think all the disadvantages that there are, you can go and you can go around with community and with good management. So the advantage would be you can feel lonely, which with a good community, you will never feel lonely. We have the opposite problem here. People feel too connected and have too many events to go. You can feel disconnected with the company, which all the good companies will optimize for and will make sure that you have all the information you need to be very well and to be happy and to do your best work. So honestly, remote work is just a better system for companies. And this is what we need to speak about as well. Remote work as a system just works better for companies. It increases productivity. It makes sure they keep the best talent, that they hire the best talent, and they reduce costs. It's like the perfect world for companies, right? So I think the biggest disadvantage is when you have a company that didn't adapt well to remote work, then it's dangerous. If they keep you on calls for 5 hours a day, that's a red flag. That's a company that doesn't know how to work remotely. If they don't have KPIs and they don't actually know how to measure your work and they just expect you to be online all the time, that's a red flag. You shouldn't be measured in your time. You should be measured in your output. What are you producing? So I think the biggest danger right now is actually to work for companies that don't fully understand remote work. And for that reason, they can lack trust in their employees.
You mentioned the importance of companies putting into places systems so that remote work actually works. What would you think are the main things that a young person needs to pay attention to or put in place to make it work for them and for their potential employers? Basically, mm-hmm. Something to reassure employers about remote working being a great solution.
It's all about showing your work. Don't be shy online. Show your work. When you do something, ask questions. The worst that can happen to a young employee in being a company that is remote is to not show their work so they are forgotten. Ask questions. Always show what you are producing. Send this to the people that are longer at the company. Ask for feedback. But above all, show your work and ask for feedback. Like, people are there to help you. Everybody wants to help. But if you don't show your work and if you are too shy to ask questions online on Slack or whatever, then you'll have several problems. So it's all about working and showing your work to others, asking for feedback.
That's an amazing piece of advice. Because you're right. In an office, it's so, I mean, we are used to just communicate, right, face to face and be like, I just did this. And I don't know how many conversations we had per day with our colleague when we're in an office, but probably more than 20 or 30. But if you don't take the time to write that message on Slack or whatever channel you're using, then maybe you're going to feel disconnected. And I think it's a very good piece of advice there.
And there's actually something really cool to add, which is most good remote companies work asynchronously, meaning they don't expect a synchronous communication in real life communication. So what you should do is actually use these Slack channels and ask for opinions, not just book calls, but imagine you are a designer and you did the start of the project. Just go on Loom, record what you are doing while you are doing it, like 1-3 minute video, put on Slack and say, hey guys, I'm building this. I would love your feedback here on the thread. So what this will do is that people will see this on their own time and will be able to give you the best feedback, deep feedback, instead of just jumping on the call, interrupting everything they are doing. So think very wisely all the time about how can I do this asynchronously without interrupting others. So when the others are really ready to see my work and give me feedback, I'll get the feedback I'm looking for. So asynchronous communication works 10 times better into a remote setup than asynchronous communication.
It's very useful, actually. You're right. Sometimes we're just thinking, okay, do you have time now to speak? And actually, that's perhaps not the way to go. Maybe just taking the time to have the normal conversation as if you would have it face to face, but then just give some time to the people to reply. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, people can be in different time zones, for example. Imagine your manager is in Japan, you are in Switzerland, and you have other people on your team in Brazil. People will not be online at the same time. So just post there, and then people can give you feedback when they are more available to you.
With the perspective that you have now and the different experiences that you've accumulated, what would you have liked to know when you were about to look for your first job?
It's all about community. I never applied for a job again. I get everything through networking. So, and we see this happening in Madara, Digital Nomads Madara, all the time. People get jobs because they are in the community. The bigger your community, the more trust you build, the more relationships you have, the more content you create, and you are seen as peers, even on the online community, not just the offline community, but online, this is also important. The more content you create, the more you'll be perceived as an expert, the more connections you will make. It's all about networking. Like I would say 80% of the job posts are never going online. They are based on network. People ask me all the time, Gonçalo, do you know any good marketeer for? And I just go to my network and the people I trust the most and I send them there. Building your network is 10 times more important than spending any time online researching for jobs. I would spend 80% of my work doing networking, building content about what I see, commenting other people, other experts posts, building my own content with the things I learned, and then 20% trying to find a job, for example.
Networking and building great communities, I think it makes a lot of sense. For everybody listening, if you haven't listened to the episode about how to network as a student, go back in the list. We had an episode with Kingsley Akings, the CEO of the Networking Institute in Dublin. Go check that episode out. That would be very useful for you. And that connects a lot with what you were saying, Gonçalo, the importance of building networks and surrounding yourself with people who can introduce you to other interesting individuals. Thanks a lot, Gonçalo. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
If you enjoyed that episode, it will mean the world to us if you could leave us a review and share it with your friends on social media. Thanks a lot. This audio experience was brought to you by Career Ferry.